Hugs. So good to have you back. Now I gotta get back focused here. Where's I going with that? So excited about what God is gonna do. And as I was praying about what to do this next series for us for our tithes and offerings, I just kept getting new thing, new thing, new thing. And I was like, okay, new thing. Where are we going with this? And of course, one of my favorite verses about new things is Isaiah 43. And let's open it up and read in verse 19. And it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Say new thing.
New thing.
"Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I'll read that one more time. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." At this point of history in Israel, they were in Babylon. They had been taken captive again. And so they already knew about God's faithfulness to deliver them from Egypt, right? So in the next couple weeks, we're going to be going over what these different portions of this verse... sorry, these silly masks. Thank you, Jesus. But I wanted today to look at the first word that says, "Behold." And "behold" is something that means, stop, hang on, pay attention here. Thank you, honey. But it's even more than that. It was an introduction as something that was a note of admiration. So it was like, stop everything you're doing and pay attention. This is something to be admired. This is something that you need to listen to. And obviously, we're in the middle of chapter 43, so Isaiah had been talking and talking and giving forth his prophecy. And how many people know that if you're in church and the pastor's talking and talking and talking, sometimes what can your mind do? Zone, right? So in the middle of his talking, Isaiah all of a sudden says, "Behold!" And everybody went, whoa, okay, what? This is something important here. Not that what he had said before wasn't important, but this was something to be admired, something to be listened to, something to be paid attention to. Amen? And that's what we're going to be talking about, is God is going to do a new thing. Say it again, new thing.
New thing.
And I love this picture because even in our very front yard, you can see this little crocus trying to come up through the snow. And there'll be times in our front yard, and we didn't plant them. Somebody planted them years ago, because I'm not a big flower person in my flower beds. And so it's this, you'll see this white all over our entire yard when it snows, and then you'll see this little teeny tiny bud of purple. And in the middle of all the starkness, you see new life. God is doing a new thing. Has anybody ever seen that in your yard before? It'll just be barren or covered in snow, or it'll be all dried up and gross looking, but then you'll see that newness of life coming. God is doing something new. And that's what I feel like. We've kind of been in this place of stark, where everything's been white. Everything has been just going the same. But God is taking us to a new place in Him with His provision. Could someone say amen?
Amen.
And you know what? I believe it's going to be different than anything we've ever experienced before. I believe it's going to be, we're all going to be like, oh my word. We're going to be going to each other and be going, "Behold, I have something to tell you that is incredible that God did in my life this week." Calling someone up, "Behold, listen to this. This is an amazing thing that God has done." Because it's going to be one of those things that you're going to want everybody just to stop what they're doing and to listen to what you have to say, because it is so powerful and so awesome what God has done. Amen? So I just want you to get excited. I want you to get a vision for this next year. Everything may look the same in your life. Everything may look white. Maybe it's not white. Maybe you're in a place in the country, if you're listening to this later, where everything is brown, right? Everything is the same. Everything is dismal. But you need to be looking for that teeny tiny bud of life, because God is going to do a new thing. And in this next few weeks, we're going to see some powerful ways that God is going to move and work in our finances to take us to another level. And part of that other level that we're going to be going to, not only is your tithes and offerings, but it's what you do with your time. And I share with a lot of you this morning when we started church about the different Bible reading programs out there. It is so important this year for you to be in your Word. We have to be Spirit-led. We have to be directed by God. And you're not going to know the truth if the truth is not something you are seeing or hearing. You know, there is no rules against Bible reading that says that you can't put on your app, Bible Gateway, and have it read it to you. God is not legalistic, okay? He is not legalistic. I'm actually reading the Bible while I'm listening to it in my ear because it's more entertaining for me. It's like, and like I said, Lindsay and I are doing it, and it's like 7 to 10 chapters a day. That's a long time to read your Bible in case you haven't ever done that before. So you want it to be entertaining. But you know what I'm already seeing? I've read Genesis 1,000,001 times. And I got parts underlined and circled in little notes that I've never seen before, right? Because that's the way God's Word works. It's alive and active. But if you're not putting it in, you can't expect yourself to look at truth and a lie and know the difference. You have to put it in. So even if you program your phone, Bible Gateway is awesome. Wherever you stop, when you start it up again, that's right where it is. It's fabulous. So what I'm trying to say is there are no excuses. You can listen in the car on the way to work to 7 chapters of the Bible, right? Or 8, or whatever it is you're Bible reading, or wherever you're going to. And we got all these great earpiece things so you don't even have to have it out loud. It can be in your ear at work. Amen? But we need to get the Word inside of us so that we can know when God's directing us to do this or this. There are a lot of things that come to our church, a lot of requests that many of you don't even know about from people that are asking for stuff. But we don't just go, oh yeah, jump. No. We're led by the Lord. There are times I've had people who are just like begging you, but you feel this Holy Spirit check that says, no, not there. And then there's other times that I'll just hear it mentioned, and it's like a fire rises up inside of you, and you're like, yes, we need to do this. Because I'm putting the Word into my heart and life so that when the Lord speaks, I recognize His voice. Amen. Because I've already been reading it in His Word. Amen? Super important what you do with your time. Make the Word number one. So that when God tells you to sow something, or maybe reap something, or maybe start a new business, or maybe start a new idea, whatever it is, you're going to be ready because you're going to know His voice and you'll act on it. Amen? I'm looking forward to these behold emails that are going to be coming in from you guys, or behold phone calls, or behold texts, because I believe God is going to be doing stuff now. Not a year from now, but now. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank You for this Word that You are teaching us, Father. And I just pray, Lord, this new level that You're taking us to in our finances and in Your provision, Father, I just thank You and I praise You in advance for it, Father, because I know, as Steve shared earlier, it's not just for us. It's not, I mean, we'll be blessed, yes, but it's so that we can give to every good work. Father, I don't know how many stories I've heard, Father, this year of churches that are in need, Father, that even other churches are blessing those churches and taking care of them. How awesome is that? That's where we want to be, Father, at a place where we can sow even into other churches. We can sow into other ministries. We can be like the Billy Graham crusade, Father, that's using primetime television to lead people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Imagine, Lord, if all of us had enough money that we could do multiple commercials and just take out all the other commercials. And it would just be about coming to Jesus. Lord, that is not too difficult for You, and it's not afar off. I'm believing in these last days You're going to pour out Your Spirit on Your sons and Your daughters, and we're going to see what we need to see and do what we need to do. And it begins, Father, with this new thing that You are doing starting today. I pray, Father, that every hindrance, every word, every religious spirit, every attempt of the enemy to keep us bound in where we are financially is broken today in Jesus' name. It's broken off, Father. People are not going to see themselves as having a limited income. You are a child of God Most High. Your income is unlimited.
Amen.
And Father, we just pray right now that as it comes in, You're going to give us wisdom on what to do with it. And if we don't know, we put it in our storehouse and we wait for your instructions. Yes. We wait on you. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you that in these next few weeks, even, Father, we're going to be hearing behold stories about how you have touched people's finances miraculously, done signs and wonders. And remind us, Father, there is nothing too small or too great to rejoice about. So we pray, Father, you would touch the seed that is sown today, Father. We sow in faith, Lord, for the things that you're going to be doing. It's like the seed planted in the ground, Father. We're planting that seed and planting that seed. Now we're looking, we have little sprouts of purple that are coming up, or red or yellow or whatever color, Father, that they're going to begin coming up, and we're going to see that new thing happening in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Praise God. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving nets and just make a confession of faith with me. Just say, I believe that I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go to the north, south, east, and west. Bring in my harvest. I receive raises, bonuses, increase, benefits, salaries, inheritances, commissions, the favor of God on my finances. I call in houses, vehicles, churches, ministries, salvations to family and friends, health and wholeness to our bodies. We'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you for that beautiful offering message, and thank you for your continued faithfulness in your giving. Amen. And we're giving in faith. Praise the Lord. Because God's got a plan. And when we include God's plan in our plans and put His plans first, I was thinking this morning, you know, why did we come to church on Sunday morning? Well, Sunday is the first day of the week. If you look at your calendar, it's not the last day of the week. So we're giving God the first part of the first day of the first day of the week. Amen. So when we're tithing, we're giving God, you know, His money, sowing it into His work, sowing it into His kingdom. And then you can expect to reap a harvest back in your life, in every area of your life. This week, we're getting new appliances delivered to our house, right? It's about time. I mean, we got prosperity appliances, man. They have not died. They have gone and gone and gone and gone. Shelly's like, Steve, you better actually clean behind the stove before they come to pick it up this week. Because we've gotten our mileage out of these things, right? But we got to go to Home Depot the other day and order appliances. And it's like, hey, praise God. Amen. We got a good God, don't we? But when we put Him first, He takes care of the rest of everything in our lives, right? I love the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. Somebody say things. In this world, we do need things, don't we? Amen. A church building is a thing. Clothing is a thing, right? And I love how Brother Jesse talks about what do you want? Amen. Not just about what do you need. What do you want? What do you desire? Hallelujah. We got a good daddy, don't we? I'm getting a little ahead of the message there, but just a reminder, when we're giving with purpose and faith, believing God to just, man, just do awesome things. Anybody believing for anyone in your family to get saved or to come back to Jesus, right? That's something you can believe for. You're sowing. I'm not saying you're buying their salvation. Jesus already bought it. We don't give tithes and offerings, as Brother Keith I've heard say before, protection money. Like the mafia, right? An angel shows up at your door. Just to remind you, a tenth is the Lord's, because bad stuff happens to people who aren't tithing. You know, that's a nice refrigerator you got over there. You want to keep it nice? Remember, a tenth is the Lord. No. But when you give and you're sowing into God's work, to God's kingdom, you can expect results, supernatural results. Because why? Because you're sowing, when you sow into this ministry, we sow into other ministries. Amen? This money doesn't go into me and Shelly's pockets. I mean, we are blessed, and we do get a salary, a housing allowance, all that kind of stuff. So we are blessed, amen? But we're not pocketing every penny that comes into this place. Most of it goes back out, amen? Even though we're, you know, leasing this facility and it's a blessing, we sow into other ministries like the Copelands and the Jesse Duplantises, the Jerry Sevilles, the Believer's Voice Victory Network, missions, and just all kinds of stuff throughout the year. And what that tells you is you can be expecting a harvest in your own life. Because why? Because you're sowing into some stranger out there that doesn't know Jesus in a country that we may never even go to. So there's a harvest for your house. So be expecting it. Amen? Financial, spiritual, physical, whatever it is. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the power of God today. We thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, these words today must be spoken. And when they're spoken, they are set in course. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout, amen! Amen and amen and amen. You know, I'm doing right now probably my favorite thing to do is, you know, teach God's word. I just love it. I just enjoy it coming up here, and the Lord always has something for us to look at, and I always love what he adds to it, because I don't just labor over every sermon and write every jot and everything I need to share, and this illustration goes here, and I would go nuts if I did that, right? I get the scriptures down in sequence that I know that I feel the Lord would have us to go, and then the Holy Ghost just takes over while I'm up here, and I love that. Amen? Praise. Does anyone need to turn the heat on, by the way? I see some. Everybody doing okay? Because we can bump the air if we need to. Just give us a hallelujah. All right, so we're hanging tough. Praise God. But I want to welcome you to Vision Day 2021. Amen? We do this every first Sunday of the year as long as the Holy Ghost directs us. And it's really important to do. Praise the Lord. It's good to know that there's a purpose for us being a church. I believe that Redeemed Church, the church obviously, is God's idea, God's plan. That's why the devil can't shut it down. Amen? But our church, Redeemed Church, God has a plan and a purpose for us. Amen? He's got a lane for us to run in, a course for us to run in. Praise the Lord. Things for us to do. Praise the Lord. It just thrills me to be able to tell you that. And you're all a part of it. Amen. But this is a great message for people that are either new to Redeemed Church, maybe listening online. I'm posting this on, I think it's our contacts page, that's for people that are just wanting to find out about our church. I post the Vision Day right there because that gives them a nutshell of who in the world is Redeemed Church, right? Amen. Sometimes folks will ask us, what denomination are you with? Had a brother ask me this just the other day. Out checking the mail at my mailbox, and he's coming down one way and I'm coming down the other, and we start chatting, and he's having some challenges in his life, and God's helping him. He's in a good denominational church in town. And we start chatting, what denomination? I'm like, well, brother, honestly, I was raised Foursquare. My wife was raised Assemblies of God. I've gone to a Methodist church in college. We've met in a Catholic high school. You know, amen, Baptist, whatever. I just said, you know, if Jesus is Lord of that denomination or that group, then we're family. I don't look at us as a denomination. Obviously, we love the Word of Faith track. That's where I study under. But I hear stuff. I turn on Charles Stanley sometimes and get stuff with Franklin Graham. You know, it's somebody say it's all Jesus. But he does give you a niche to go in. Or as Brother Copeland calls it, a stream. And streams don't divide us, they unite us, because we're all flowing together into the same river, going to the same ocean. Amen? Praise God. So we're not a church that is associated with any one denomination, and yet I would say we're associated with all denominations. If Jesus is Lord of that group, then we're family. I got nothing bad to say. It doesn't mean when you say non-denominational or independent, that we're anti-denomination. Not at all. No. This is, but the simple thing is, this is what God has called me to do, us to do. Amen? And in a denomination, you might have people that you report to, or, you know, buildings more, you don't have to, maybe not have to work outside the church as much, that kind of stuff. But this is what God has called me to do and where he's called me to do it. Hallelujah. And I love it. Amen. But let's get into this. It's Psalm 107, if you want to flip over there, is our foundation Bible chapter for our church. It's kind of like our theme chapter. And you can read the whole thing. A lot of this you can just come back to, listen to later, read on your own. But there's a couple of verses I specifically want to point out. And one of them is Psalm 107, verse 2. And it says this. If you have your notes, you can just read it out loud with me. Just say this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Somebody say, welcome to Redeemed Church. Now, that does not mean that any other church in town is Condemned Church. This is just the name God gave us, the name that felt right. And yes, anyone who's born again is redeemed. In other words, we're not telling you if you go to any other church except this one, you are not redeemed, because this is the Ohio State University. This is the Redeemed Church. No. There is one Jesus. Amen? There's one church, but he's called us to be Redeemed Church. He's named us. He gave us the name. He's given us a mission, and we love it. Amen? What a great message to preach every day till Jesus comes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? Well, redeemed means to buy back, to pay off, to recover. Recover is a huge word prophetically for 2021. Somebody say, recover. The Redeemer is about to help us recover everything the devil has stolen. Amen. Glory to God. And that doesn't just include financially. That includes in the area of health. That includes the area of souls. Amen. I love Pastor Keith Moore this past week on his broadcast or their service. He put a word out to all churches. I love this. I love ministries like this. Pastors, if you're struggling right now, if you're behind in your building payments, call us. We can help you. Who says that? He's like, I'm not talking about you need money to build a new building or add on to your build. He said, but if you're having legitimate issues with your bills right now, we understand it's been a tough year. Call us. Somebody say, that's why you want to be a prosperity church right there. You can knock there might be the same people that are knocking the prosperity message and throwing stones at people like the Moores. And then when something like this happens, you know, maybe I ought to call them and see if somebody say hallelujah, right? Somebody say, we're in the recovery business. And you'll understand the picture up here as we get to, you know, the portion that we want to focus on. But it's a recovery mission. See, we're not out telling people they're all going to hell. We're pointing to heaven and saying, it's not too late. You can still get on board the SS Salvation. There's room for more. Hallelujah. But I wouldn't delay. I wouldn't wait. Amen? Synonyms for redeemed are words like win back. I love that word, win. Somebody say, win. Just win, baby. Just win soul. Why do we like winning? I played some Monopoly this week. I got this new Monopoly game called Monopoly Outer Space. I think it's going to be my new thing every week after Christmas is to find a new Monopoly game. There was one called, I saw it at Target, there was one called House Divided Monopoly. And it's who's going to take the White House. And you buy states. And I thought, that's too close to home right now. I don't want. Amen. Somebody say, we like to win. Jesus is the winning team. Amen. That's all we're here to say, what redeem means. Hey, you can join the winning team. Are you tired of losing? Come on over to Team Jesus, right? It means recoup. Again, synonyms for redeem. regain, restore, ransom, change, discharge, exchange. Isn't it great to know we can come to Jesus and exchange our sin for his righteousness, exchange our sickness for his health, exchange our poverty for his prosperity, exchange our depression and sorrow for his joy and peace. Hallelujah. I could preach this forever. Amen. Glory to God. It means purchase. Jesus purchased us with his own blood, didn't he? I heard Brother Copeland, I think it was, sharing a story about a woman who went to heaven. You've heard these near-death stories where they were in heaven and then it was not their time, so they came back. Well, this lady was with Jesus, and he said, it's not your time yet. I love you, but you're going to have to go back. There's people praying for you, whatever. And so she went back. And she said he turned to walk away. I can feel it right now. He turned and walked away. He turned and looked back at her. And he said, you don't owe me anything. What I did for you was a gift. That's the Lord we serve right there. What he did for me was a gift. What do you do with a gift? You receive a gift. If you've ever had a friend before, but they gave you something, but you knew there were strings attached to it. Yeah, I want you to have this, but this means that I own you. Well, of course we give ourselves to Jesus, but not because I owe him. Which that sounds totally, I know it rubs the religious bone completely the wrong. Of course I owe him. No. You receive the gift of your salvation. I receive the gift of my healing. I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Somebody just say, Lord, we receive it all. We receive it all. Woo! Glory to God. It means to recapture, to reinstate. Don't you know Adam lost it all in the Garden of Eden? And Jesus got it all back for us. He reinstated us, and actually in a better position. In our yearly Bible reading, I'm like in, I think, Genesis 9 or something now. And it just reminds you, everything that Adam lost, we have it now even better than that. Amen. It's not like when Adam stumbled and fell that God was surprised. What? Like, it's not like this election fraud. God was like, oh, what? No. Somebody say, there ain't no surprises, right? You've been reinstated to full sonship, daughtership in the kingdom of God. Amen? Means to retrieve, to settle, to call in. That's why we preach the power of our words. Don't call yourself sick and tired, old. That's killing me. Right? Broke, busted, I'm on a fixed income. Somebody say, don't ever say those words, right? You find what God's word says and say that. Even if you don't quite understand it, or, you know, you get into it and you allow yourself to be converted to this. Amen? And we say these words. It means to get back. Get back everything Satan stole. I love the gospel song. Going to the enemy's camp and I'll take back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. Amen. Somebody say, get it back. Take it in. Trade in. It's a trade. We're saying, God, I give you the sorrows. I lay them at your feet and I receive your joy. Or whatever it is. But we have to be able to identify what is the curse and what is the blessing. See, a lot of Christians seem to believe that sickness could be a blessing. Right? Poverty could actually be a blessing in disguise. Well, if it's not in the Word, it ain't a blessing. If it's on the curse list, that is a curse. So that's why we read our Bibles and study our Bibles. Because then we get familiar with what's in the contract, what's in the covenant, what's mine and what I should refuse, no matter what anybody else says. Amen? Somebody say, welcome to Redeemed Church. Now, our slogan here is where love reigns. Somebody say, I love God and I love people. Amen? In Psalm 107, verses 41 through 43 says this. I've got to flip over here to it. Psalm 107, verses 41 through 43. By the whole chapter is just rich, but yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Isn't that what Jesus came to do, right? Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen? So we're all about teaching the love of God. And I've had people testify to us, man, when I came to your church, they visited, I felt this such love. That is because we call ourselves not the only place, but a place where love reigns. And I kind of adopted this from Eagle Mountain International Church because their slogan is, where love is king. And I thought, around here we get rain. So we call it where love reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S. Amen. Somebody say, love reigns here. Amen. Not a love of the world's values and system, but a love for God, a love for his word, a love for people. But we love people enough to tell them the truth. This way is up. No matter what anybody says, this way is up. And this way is down. What? That's not what I read in a book. That's not what I read on Twitter today or whatever. They're saying this way is up and this way is down. Well, no. Come back to this. Come back to God's word. Come back to God's word. Let's say it together. This way is up and conversely, this way is down. Heaven is nice. Hell is awful. And you can choose which way you want to go for eternity. Praise the Lord forevermore. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say, love reigns here. Now the four E's, we have, if you've noticed, four E's in Redeemed Church. R-E-D-E-E-M-E-D. And when we were developing the vision of the church, we decided, you know what, we need to have acronyms, you know, words that go with each one of those E's. And so the Lord gave us these words. The first E we said is exalting Jesus. Somebody say, exalting Jesus. And Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11 says this. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. So we're here to preach Jesus. Exalt Jesus. We're not going to talk about God in vague terms. Whoever he or she is to you. No. We're here to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But Jesus is the way of salvation. It doesn't say Jehovah is the way. It doesn't say the Holy Ghost is the way of salvation. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. That's where it all begins. Amen. So we're not mishmashing words on that stuff. Somebody say, exalt Jesus. All right, and then the next E stands for encouraging his people. And 1 Corinthians 4, I got my little tags here in my Bible. 1 Corinthians 4, wait, is that right? No, 14, pardon me. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 4. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And that word prophesy means to build up, to encourage, right? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Amen? So encouraging his people. Church ought to be a place where you come and are built up. Amen. You ought not leave church feeling tore up. Right? Amen. Now, God does correct us, and sometimes his correction stings a little bit. Right? But he's not into tearing you down. Jesus didn't come in this world as a demolition expert. He came as a carpenter, a builder. And that signifies he is here to build you up. He did come to destroy something, though. The works of the devil. Amen. Glory to God, right? So somebody say, I'm encouraged today. And then equipping his people. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. GE Power Company, as my friend Pastor Brad, mentor Pastor Brad, has taught me. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. I love John Maxwell. He taught us once in a minister's conference, and he went through this whole list of things people call their pastor for. Your car broke down? Call your pastor. Need your lawn mowed? Call your pastor. Your father-in-law need to be born again? Call your pastor. House need to be painted? Call your pastor. Discouraged? Call your pastor. His point was, church, you ought to be encouraged and built up in the word so you can go out and be doing the work of the ministry. Amen? Somebody say hallelujah. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say, I'm getting equipped today. Hallelujah. That's why we take notes. That's why we print out notes pages. That's why we have a website. The website isn't out there so I can just hear me all the time I want to. It's to get God's word out there and give us something to be plugging into, right? Amen. And on our website, we share other ministries that have blessed us. What I do not do on the website is tear down other ministries. I love these, but I don't love these. No. Somebody say, Heshep, right? And finally, embracing the world, John 3:16. We can probably say that from heart, right? But it's good to look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? So when it says we're embracing the world, it does not mean this. It does not mean we're embracing the rainbow. You know what I'm talking about. I'll embrace the rainbow from Genesis that talks about God's covenant to never destroy the earth again by a flood, right? It signifies his grace, but I'm not embracing the philosophy of the world that says everything goes. Whatever you want to do, just do it. It's okay. Somebody say, no, that's a flat line. That's death, right? It means we're embracing the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the game Red Rover, right? Remember that game? And people would race across and they'd have to break through you. If you're going to get to hell in Vancouver, Portland area, you're going to have to break through Redeemed Church to get there. Amen. Because we are going to embrace you with the truth, embrace you with the love of God. Amen. Embrace you with God's words. We're not judging people. Absolutely not. No way. I would venture a guess that any of us in this room right now who are still in flesh and blood, Jesus is still helping us through things in our own lives. Amen? So I'm not here to judge anyone who comes in from any lifestyle or issues, but we show them what the word says and we preach God's word. We don't preach circumstances. We don't preach the weaknesses. We don't preach sickness. We don't preach disease. We preach God's truth. The sword of the Spirit that can break me through anything. Amen? Praise God forevermore. I hope we get through this today. This might be a 2-week thing. We'll see. I believe we'll get through it. Amen? The core values of our church. Hallelujah. We'll do this today. This one I'm pulling up on my phone because it's on our website, because I've got a few different translations here. We have six core values at Redeemed Church. The first one is we walk in love. Somebody say we walk in love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says this, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, which God is love, right? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Somebody say, walk in love, right? Well, how do I walk in love and still tell somebody the truth? Well, a lot of times you don't have to say anything. Sometimes you do, but sometimes they see it just by being around you and watching your life. Man, that stuff that was rattling me isn't rattling them. Amen. Walking in love, being there for people, right? We live by faith. Somebody say, we live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. We're not living by what we see, we're living by what we believe. And faith, one of my favorite meanings from the concordance, is reliance upon Christ for salvation and constancy in such profession. Amen? Somebody say, we're a faith church. Hallelujah. We pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in the Living Bible says it this way. I love this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Glory to God, right? So that's why, you know, Shelley, the weekly email that goes out, prayer and praise, it's who we are. It's who she is. She's constantly got her antennas up for things to pray about. Not because we want to talk about it, we want to pray about it. Amen. Glory to God, right? And we have testimonies, as you all know, from all of our families and things where God has gotten involved and done amazing things. But we have to pray. Amen? Otherwise, we're just having a Christian motivational seminar. Amen? Which ain't bad, right? But we're here to pray. Preach God's word. Pray. Praise. Hallelujah. We put God's word first. Deuteronomy 6, 5, and 7 says this in the Amplified. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart, with all your entire being, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first, somebody say first, in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them while you sit in your houses, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Somebody say, we put God's word first. If I ever come up here without my Bible, that's the time to say, Pastor, did you forget something, Pastor Steve? Somebody say, we use the word of God, right? Amen. We make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 and 19 in the King James, New King James. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, we make disciples. Somebody say, I am a disciple. Right, we're followers of Jesus. Amen? So people come in here, and they become disciples of Jesus Christ. I mean, you're going to be a disciple of something. Right? Some people are disciples of this or that, whatever, weed or immorality or gossip, business, whatever. Some things aren't even bad in themselves, right? Money, finance, right? We need to be disciples of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that will affect every area of our lives. Hallelujah. And then finally, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Somebody just say, Abba, Father. Daddy God. So learning to be led by the Holy Spirit is one of the most important things you could ever learn in your life. To hear His voice. In my house, you know, this is going to be part two next week. In my house, I don't tell everyone how to read their Bible. But you know what they've seen every day of their life? Daddy reading his Bible. Every morning. And I'm not doing that to show off to him. I'm doing it because I love God. I'm not doing that because I'm a pastor. No. My morning time with Jesus is not about Redeemed Church. I pray for Redeemed Church. I pray for you. We pray for you all the time. Amen? But I'm not there to get, Lord, let me get some notes down for Sunday right now. No. It's me and Jesus time. And He's given me a flow that I go through, a prayer that I pray every day. Amen? I've taught on some of that before. I've got my read through the Bible in a year plan that I go through every year. This year's a little different. I actually bought a calendar this year. The Lord just brought me to a really cool place, and I found a calendar. And so my prayer is a lot more concise, not shorter, but concise. And it's an outline. And for me to get up here and tell you that's how you have to do it would be wrong. Why? Because there's this person called the Holy Spirit. Who's on the inside of each of you. Amen. And my kids and my wife, they all have their own way of connecting with their Abba Father. And it's wonderful to watch. Lindsay has her way. Lacey has her way. Luke has his way. Shelly has her way. And they all have these intricacies and ways that they study the Word and read the Word and spend time with God. And it's a living thing. Amen. They're not coming to me and saying, Dad, what's on your outline? What am I supposed to be doing? No. Somebody say, we are led by the Holy Spirit. And in every area of our life, we are led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray today. And next week, we'll talk about some of the prophetic utterances for this year. Amen. God is so good. Hallelujah. Amen. So welcome to Redeemed Church. Why don't y'all stand up on your feet this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands to God and welcome the Holy Ghost. Just say, Holy Spirit, have your way in every area of my life. Glory, 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 glory to God. Father, we commit this year to you. We're expecting marvelous and wonderful things in 2021, God. Daily things, weekly things, monthly things. Father, I ask you by the Holy Ghost and by your word to paint a picture in each one of our hearts and minds. I was listening to Terry Seville Foy this morning on Eagle Mountain, and she's a visionary and teaches God's people to set goals, and you know, it's marvelous. But she talks about pictures, visions. Give us all, Lord God, I pray, two or three things to meditate on, to write down that we're believing you for this year. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We just receive it from heaven today. Maybe it's some type of a healing. Maybe it's some type of a financial breakthrough or some type of educational thing or employment thing or something in your family, whatever. It could be more than two or three things, but I'm talking about big things, not little things. Something big you're believing God for. And Father, we'll thank you for it all in advance. And we commit our lives, Lord God, to spending quality time with you every day, throughout the day, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, somebody say, amen.